So hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with Tiffany and myself, Stephen. Today we've got a topic that's going to ruffle a few feathers, quite literally.
Starting strong with your puns.
Oh, that's right, because birds of a feather flock together. Okay, let's get bird talking.
Okay, so you are referring to the news that crow shooting will resume in Singapore from the second half of this month.
That's right. Minister Chee Hong Tat has recently announced that he has asked NParks to bring back shooting as one of the measures to reduce the crow population in Singapore.
We have seen that there has been a rise in the reports of crow attacks by fourfold to more than 2,000 cases last year. And if the numbers go any higher, Minister Chee also said that it might affect the safety of residents.
Yeah, I guess so. That is paramount. You know, people are feeling a bit vulnerable with all these crows flying about. And it's not just the crows that are feeling the heat. NParks is also studying measures to control the otter population in Singapore, which includes some ideas like sterilization.
Yeah, so exactly how far should these measures go, and if we want to be a city in nature, and what do we as Singaporeans need to do to create an environment where we can all coexist?
That's right. Animals, human beings living together, that's always a little bit challenging. So to help us out with today's discussion, we have with us So Zibin, Director for Wildlife Management and Outreach from NParks.
Hello everyone.
And Kalaivanan Balakrishnan, CEO of ACRES.
Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about methods, gentlemen, help us to understand how big is the crow population now?
Okay. So our crow population, NParks do carry out surveys to study the population. But that is being finalized. What we are concerned about are the crow-related feedbacks that's being reported and also crow attack-related feedbacks relating to crows that are also being reported. The crow attack cases stand at about 2,000 cases as of 2025.
So in other words, more people are complaining and saying, hey, you know, this is the problem, I'm worried about my safety, kind of feedback.
Yes, that's right. We also see a steady increase in the number of crow-related feedback. It might not have to do with attacks. It could be just an observation of crows gathering in the area or crow nests. So all this accumulated feedback amounts to about more than 10,000. Yeah.
Okay. So we're actually not saying there are specifically more crows because, well, it's hard to count the actual number of crows, but you're saying just overall feedback has increased and it seems the sentiment is that there are concerns about people's public safety. And that is the reason for the idea to bring back the shooting of the crows as a method of culling?
Yeah, you mentioned about are there just more people complaining?
Yeah.
I personally don't think so. I do think that there is an increase in their population as well, which also results in just feedbacks encountered by people or more people seeing crows at more places.
Why is there a concern, Kalai, when it comes to seeing more crows or having more crows?
Before I answer the question, I mean, based on what Sibin was saying, I was also wondering whether those 2,000 complaints or feedbacks, are they individual complaints from 2,000 different people? Or sometimes, you know, in the past, we had many situations where one person could have made 20 phone calls.
Right.
And that 20 will add into the 2,000. So we need to take that into perspective as well. And, you know, for crows, you know, I think, especially here, sometimes people treat different animals differently. People, you know, if you take otters and pythons, just as a simple example, people treat these animals differently based on certain stereotypes that animals may have. And in that sense, I think people do have sometimes a certain negative opinion on crows, whereas a lot of people do find them very intelligent, which they are. They are extremely intelligent birds, which is probably why sometimes they, you know, they're so smart, they're so adaptable, they're able to live alongside us, and sometimes people cannot appreciate that or accept that.
Well, I guess the question is, I mean, at which point do you decide that I need to control the population? Just like we are looking at the otter population and also thinking that it's time to control the numbers as well. So at which point does someone decide, okay, this is really an issue? Zibin?
There are several factors in deciding whether population control is needed for crows. There are ongoing efforts by the agencies, including NEA, the town councils, SFA, to reduce the food sources in our environment. So, and we also carry out nest removal of crows.
Okay.
Yeah. So all these are ongoing efforts. We might not be able to see the direct results of this, but these are very important upstream methods to undertake. As for the question, when do we decide we need to remove some crows from the environment?
Or any animal,
yeah,
right?
Maybe we stick to crows first. Yeah, okay. Because, yeah, so for crows, so a lot of concerns are about crow attacks. Mm. So if there are attacks happening in that area, usually is mitigated by the removal of the nest, because crows, right, adult crows, they do tend to have, some of them do tend to have aggressive behavior when they are guarding their nest. And their nest could contain young chicks or young fledgling. So it's just like a normal adult, right, protecting its young.
You're saying when the nest is removed, the crows get upset and they do attack people?
Yes, that's right.
As in they come fly directly at people or really close to them to try and intimidate them?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, some of them...
So we shouldn't do that then?
Do what?
Remove the nest.
Okay, so if you don't remove the nest... sometimes, regardless whether the nest is being removed, the presence of the nest on the tree can also make some crows attack people.
Oh.
So it's not the action of humans removing nest. Mm. Just by the presence of nest on a tree and with heavy...
like footfalls. They feel protective,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
of
exactly,
their environment.
He's guarding their, territorial. Their nests and...
Mm.
Okay, so these methods that we have been trying, these other methods of culling, have they proved to be effective?
Food source reduction, nest removals, these are ongoing efforts. This takes time to actually take effect.
Mm.
But sometimes we do need a more immediate way to address the population. Yeah, and that's why direct control population via trapping is being conducted.
So in 2020, we stopped crow shooting. Did that kind of stabilize the population for a while?
When shooting stopped in 2020, I think we had to find another way to remove crows from the environment. We based it on overseas reference. They employ a trap. It's called a, yep, ladder trap. So that ladder trap has been our current measure to reduce the crow population over these past few years.
But has it worked enough? Otherwise, why are we bringing back culling by shooting?
So we hope that it had worked, but seeing the number of feedback rising and crow attack cases that have been reported, we do think that there is a need to introduce maybe another option, another method to just augment our existing measures.
Mm. If I can add, you know... I have seen shooting happen before. I mean, pre-COVID times, even in my neighborhood, it happened. And I actually think shooting is a pretty, I would say, ineffective way of doing it, because crows are so smart. When you shoot, maximum, maybe you can get one or two crows, mm-hmm, and the rest will fly away.
Yep.
So I think in that sense, it's ineffective. And, you know, if you go back to the data, I believe in last year, NParks Scout, 13,000 crows, if I'm not wrong. That's quite a large number. So again, the question then goes back to, if we manage to cull 13,000 crows without shooting, and still we feel the measures are not enough, then why bring back shooting as an additional measure? It doesn't make sense in terms of the visual, the optics of it. And if I can add one more thing, actually just now you mentioned the word guarding, they're guarding the nest. And I think that is where a lot of Singaporeans often get this wrong, and they mistake attacking and defending.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds simple, but that's actually the fact. A lot of human-wildlife conflict in Singapore happens usually because, you know, people could be the wrong place at the wrong time. And also it could be a case of the animals is defending themselves. But I know this can be tricky for, let's say, in this case, for National Parks Board to actually tell people, hey, the animal is just defending itself.
That's right.
But who's going to ask the animal, right?
Yeah, so, but that is the reality. So usually when these crow attacks happen, it's more of their nest is nearby. They become defensive of their nest. That's when they swoop down.
Okay, but can I say that if I'm just a passerby and, you know, someone who doesn't understand birds, I don't understand bird behavior, I don't understand wildlife, I have my child with me, and a crow comes swooping towards me, I'm not going to go, oh, you know, it's just defending and it has every right to defend its nest. To me, it's an attack. So what really is the definition of an attack here?
Actually, when a crow attacks you, most of the time, you wouldn't see it coming.
And I won't see it as defense.
It will come from the back
okay.
and sort of swoop down at unwary passerbys.
So you wouldn't know from the front. They don't.
If you're going to attack me, you must attack from the front. You cannot attack from the back.
So that's why he's saying these crows are smart.
So it's a sneak attack.
Yeah,
I'm just putting myself in the shoes of the everyday person.
Yeah, but he's saying actually, in most cases, they're not attacking. Because if you see the birds flying at you, you see the crows flying at you, it means it's not an attack. If he comes from behind, then it's an attack.
It will be helpful if you can define the reason behind it. Mm. You know, if you're walking around and, you know, you're getting attacked by crows all the time out of nowhere, then something is wrong.
That's a
problem. That could be a new
problem. Deodorant you're using, that
but
smell
if it's happening
so
at certain specific areas, in a lot of these places there were nests, then that gives a rationale, gives a reason. You know, and that could explain why they're doing it, and it's more of a defensive. Yeah.
But I'm on the same page with Kalai for this. In terms of culling by shooting, how many more crows can you shoot down to make it a significant addition to the method of culling? Can we not relocate the nest? Find a way to relocate the birds? Give them an incentive to fly to Tuas or something, you know? I don't know, right?
Even I will not think relocation will work.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, even coming from an animal welfare perspective, I think sometimes there may be a need to control the population. No denying it. Mm. But my question is only this. How do we do it? Have we explored other ideas enough? Relocating the nest in this sense, you know, in a broader sense, might just be pushing the problem somewhere.
But why not? I mean, no, because if you have an area that is less inhabited, less populated, where they can roam more freely, then isn't that a good thing for them and for us?
We have tried to track where the crows are flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do deploy some form of technology, harness using whatever technology that we have now, try to track their movement. By placing a little small Bluetooth device like on them that weighs maybe less than about 5% of their body weight. So it doesn't really cause them too much added stress. Crows, they do fly around Singapore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you do see them more commonly in a local localized area, but some of them can actually fly throughout Singapore from Tuas
to Changi.
All the way to Changi. Yes. Pongo as well, yes. That's
but
right.
Why do they go to certain areas? And you're saying they come to where we live. Is it food sources that draws them in?
It could be food sources, or they could be being out-competed by other crows in an area, and they are moving to find new places to forage as well.
Oh, so Ang Mo Kio already has a crow population. That gang is there. They take, like otters, right? They have their own turf. I mean, animals have their own turf too.
Yes, yeah, probably, yes.
We've spoken a lot about the crow population, but I think if we look at it as a wildlife issue on the whole, so how do we determine, you know, how do we control the numbers of each, you know, wildlife species?
There are models out there that projects how much a population can increase, like given a carrying capacity of, let's say, Singapore. We can do that projection. We can see what is the sort of the maximum carrying capacity the environment can sustain. And then we do have to see and compare to the current situation. Like, for example, there's 100... maybe pigeons in this area.
Mm.
Are they okay? Are they causing a lot of nuisance? Are there bird droppings accumulating at people's backyard and all? So based on all these different indices, then we do have to decide what is the optimal population that's suitable for a particular area.
So is it also a numbers game? Like, you know, we measure it according to, I don't know, fewer complaints, a more stable population number, like what you say. But fewer complaints, would that also factor into how you look at the numbers?
I would use the word complain very carefully because, yes, Singaporeans do like to complain. But what we are more concerned is about are the human-wildlife conflicts matters that's being reported to us. The ones that have resulted in injuries, resulted in real inconveniences or disamenities. So these are the actual more tangible things that we're looking at rather than just a complaint by someone who probably complains 20 complaints a day.
Yeah, you're right. And they complain about everything. And Kala and I have worked on enough animal-related stories, whether it's pigeons, it's rats. There are so many. Finding that sweet spot where we can coexist, now that is the real challenge, right? And you're just saying the numbers, at which point do you decide there are too many crows, there are too many pigeons, you know, help us understand, because it's a whole ecosystem, right? So maybe to appreciate crows a bit better, what are crows good for?
I have a answer for that.
Go each one.
Okay. Let me just start first. All right. I'm pretty sure we have seen rodents on the ground.
Like rats.
Like rats, dead ones, right? They could be, there could be a rodent control being carried out in that area. And actually, crows, they are pretty good. They are pretty good scavengers. Mm. They will actually clean up all these rodent carcasses.
Mm. Oh.
They'll wipe it out in 30, 40 minutes and it's gone. Mm. They'll take everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in a way, they do help to clean up the environment. But that is one good thing I can really think of.
I almost am curious to know, where did they take it and bring it? Where?
They eat it.
No, I wasn't sure. He said clean up. I was like, so nice. He picks it and brings it to the green or blue bin.
I mean, they're like mini vultures. They help to clean all the carcasses and all that. But you know, more than that, I think that sometimes if we start deciding the plight of each species based on what benefit they give us, I often feel like we are heading down a slippery slope, because it's more about what they can do for us rather than, you know, them.
But that's how life works, right?
Yeah.
I do for you this, you do for me that. That's how the whole ecosystem works.
I feel that there is a difference between like the so-called invasive species, you know, that maybe thrive better in a human ecosystem, like let's say crows and pigeons, right? And then when their population booms, we go, oh, that's because we have a food waste management problem. And then we have all these, you know, wildlife where they should be able to thrive because their numbers will be a bit more organic. I mean, is that kind of true? And so, because I'm still thinking about the point where you're saying that people choose what animals to cull based on the cute factor, right? So the otter are cuter, so we leave them alone for a while, and then whereas
until
like
they
crows
eat
are
my koi fish,
correct. But I feel that there is a little bit of a difference here. So one is a bit more of a invasive species, and then the other one maybe a bit more wildlife. So you know, we're kind of actually threading into their natural environment by building, you know, our city anyway. Is that a fair statement to make?
Not really, because if you want to compare otters and crows, then you can compare otters and long-tailed macaques.
Mm.
So if you take long-tailed macaques, I mean, globally, they are already an endangered species. A lot of people don't even realize this. 10 years ago, people will go like, you know, long-tailed macaques were getting trapped left, right, center in Singapore. And during this time, a lot of people were considering them pests. And about 2015, 2016, otters started emerging in Singapore and everyone loved otters. Now that whole perception is starting to shift, where more people are like, oh, otters are, they consider them pests and all this. But during this whole time, long-tailed macaques as a species has become endangered.
Mm.
So the population is dwindling for many species around. So at the same time, long-tailed macaques, there has been cases, a few have been trapped and culled already. Mm-hmm. Just last year, I think, there were articles on it. So I often think it always boils down again to what people's perception, how much backing an animal has. You look in Singapore, like I know this for a fact, now there's a lot of efforts where there's a lot of new developments happening along the park connectors, mm-hmm. along nature areas. Everybody wants nature around their blocks, and I can, I'm sure MParks will agree. But what nature they want to be selective.
I want to see nature, that's it.
I want to see nature, I want to see songbirds, I want to wake up to, you know, sunbirds and
but
bulbuls.
But I don't want the koalas.
I don't want the koalas.
I don't want the monkey raiding
so
my trash bin.
So you, like Sim City, you pick and choose your own little nature.
Yeah, and that's when it becomes very difficult. And, you know, I sympathize with MParks because they have to handle a lot of these issues. Where it becomes very unrealistic. You can't pick and choose. Animals will adapt. So we also need to adapt. To see how we live along them.
I think most people who live near, you know, those areas have come to have a better understanding. Also because there's a lot of efforts who have gone around to educate and share with them. So at the end of the day, I guess when we come back to it, we're agreeing that at some point in time, culling may be necessary. But then the question again goes back to, do we need to be shooting the crows? Are there not other ways this can be resolved?
Yes, Steve, I agree. Shooting inherently is a very dangerous activity That's why it's heavily regulated by the Singapore Police Force.
Yeah.
Before we introduced shooting, we had months and months of talks and discussion with them. How do we bring it back safely? Yeah. So shooting can be an effective way, right? I mean, if you put pellets, shoot down a crow pellets, mm-hmm. it's an instantaneous death.
Mm. Yep.
There isn't suffering or but cruelty involved.
In the long term, it doesn't really help reduce the population versus a method like sterilization, which is more targeted.
Mm, so it's never termed as a silver bullet to solve our problem. Shooting is not going to solve our problem, but it's going to complement the measures that we are currently using and doing as well. And I think ultimately what every resident in Singapore can do a part is keeping our environment clean, practicing good food waste disposal, ensuring the crows or any other pests, they do not have access to them. Yeah, that's also the more sustainable way to manage the population.
And don't feed them, because some people like to feed some of our...
Feed the pigeons. Yeah, we still have a pigeon feeding problem.
Yeah, and when they feed pigeons, they feed everything. Everything. Correct. Crows right. also will come, miners also will come. And even before this discussion about shooting, we get calls often from Singaporeans from all backgrounds saying how they feel so disheartened or how they feel so stressful when they see a crow trap out in public and the crows are fluttering inside and you know, whether they're dehydrated or in the hot sun, and all these factors. So I think it's not just about shooting the crow. It's about how that visual is to people. And in this day and age, you know, we are quite a stressed community, and how it will appear to our children and people. I actually think that is the bigger problem.
But then I think you will always hit a segment of population that will not be happy with the method you've chosen. You know, whether is it to trap and then do something with them. You know, then they say dehydration and then, you know, you shoot them. But at the end of the day, I also feel that we are responsible. Like, there's the human behavior part of it as well. How can we sort of help people to understand that... that they have a very strong part, a big part to play. And what can we, you know, do for our environment so that we can also help you guys do your job?
I think that's a very tricky... but that is where the big part of the solution is. If you look at coffee shops and hawker centres, you know, I think they're finding people now if they don't keep their trays. But if you look at the shelf where the food is all over the place.
Yes.
And I see all the time crows, pigeons just having a time of their life.
Yes.
So how come that problem hasn't been addressed yet? This is a problem I see everywhere. And if that simple problem is not addressed, then that will definitely impact the crow population, the pigeon population. And then we need to resort to certain knee-jerk reactions like shooting and all that. So there are a lot of these small things, but very complicated issues, like how to get people to be involved in it. I totally disagree that this is a National Parks Board problem. This is a broad problem. All stakeholders in Singapore, including the community, need to come together to understand how we do it. I think a lot more education, a lot more awareness raising needs to be done, but also we need to rope in hawker centres, coffee shops, to really understand and do something about it and come up with new solutions.
No, I mean, it's true. If the hawker centre had a very specific kind of waste management system where you have to dispose of your food in a certain way.
So instead of putting your dish there,
there'll be no laksa on the tray left for the guy to come and pack it, you know. So it would make it less tempting for the animals and the wildlife to come. But it is a whole of Singapore kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, we have seen the food establishment thinking of using technology to help speed up the food waste clearance part. Like for at some hawker centres, there's an automated centralised tray return area. I think that worked, but some birds are pretty smart. They can still fly into those areas, even though nettings have been put up and all. But I would just like to say that the food establishments, they are trying hard. Their pool of cleaners who are manning the tray returns are usually the elderly. They are slower. They can't be physically shooing off, fending off the birds while they are busy clearing the dishes. So this is also something we are working both NEA and SFA on how to address that problem. Also.
Maybe we should go back to the old school model, you know, when you're a school canteen, you take your plate, then you got to sweep off your food into one bucket, then you put the plate in one and bucket, another plate for another bucket for the fork and spoon, another bucket for the cups, you know.
I think of some of the fast food restaurants, you do that.
If you could correct one misconception that the public has about wildlife population in general, wildlife population control, what would it be?
People do perceive as feeding birds as a compassionate or a kind thing to do. I think that is something that the mindset needs to change. Feeding birds, I mean, yes, there are hundreds or other households out there that are suffering because you are attracting birds to that particular area. So yes, I think bird feeding, it's also an issue that we can tackle together. We just need understanding that leave the wildlife alone. They are able to take care of themselves. Do not provide them any food so that, you know, so that then there's no need, there's no extra population growth, and then there's no need for this population control to be in place.
And I think if I can answer it from a completely different angle, based on what you see in social media and all that, I think often people have this, I think it's a wrong mindset, that, you know, if a species is invasive or considered ugly, or versus a protected, they can be culled in different ways. And I disagree with that. I think they will still feel pain when they're suffering.
Right,
So some people have this thinking like snakes don't feel pain. They do feel pain and all that. So I just feel like that part, that logic is missing in a lot of society. And if we can change that, I think people will understand and be more compassionate. And that will actually solve a lot of problems before people complain. They might be able to better understand why these animals are behaving a certain way. Hey, why is the otter, you know, always defending his pup? Why is the macaque snatching my plastic bag? Oh, it's been trained because people have been feeding it from plastic bags. So why are animals behaving certain ways in our urban areas? If we can, you know, connect the dots and make people understand, then it will be better.
Well, there you go. So this is an uphill task. And I think, you know, the whole idea is for us to coexist with these animals because we want to be a green city after all, right? Which means if there's greenery, there will be
wildlife. The animals will come.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tough work that you guys do. Thank you for educating us, you know, and helping us to understand at least, you know, a bit of this, you know. Hopefully, you know, we will learn better. Yeah.
Have a better understanding the next time you see a bird flying at you. Remember, if he's attacking you, he's flying from behind, not from in front. I learned something new. All right, so that's it for this week's episode of Deep Dive. If you have thoughts you want to share with us, any other bird stories. Nah, we don't need the bird stories. But just share any thoughts you have on the issue. We do love to hear from you. But otherwise, that's it. See you next week.
See ya.